KNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5. 97.5. A Gao Media Station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here. And hopefully for the next 3 hours, you will be here too. You can just fasten your seatbelts, take us along for the ride. We appreciate you here on 97.5. Fellas, what's up?
What's up?
How's everybody?
Good. You?
All right.
Why did you say that? All right.
I don't know. Weather sucks.
Dude, this is how I know I'm an old ass man. All right. I am 44 years old. I woke up this morning with like a sore neck for no reason.
Sleep funny?
No. I slept the way I sleep every single night. Have you ever done that where like you'll wake up? Like one time I woke up with a sore hamstring. I was like, how on earth does a muscle get pulled while you're asleep? How old am I, really? Like, I don't know. So, like, I've had that all morning, and it's just been
so you can barely turn your neck.
Kinda, yeah.
So you don't have to look at Joel the entire show.
I don't plan on it.
Well, I appreciate that. It's kind of a blessing in disguise,
yeah,
kind of,
for all of us.
A little bit it is, yeah. But, yeah, that's so
I always think I got a booger when he's staring at me. Like, what are you doing?
So that's been my morning. It's just dealing with
you
pain.
Sure you didn't put a cup of coffee on the top of your car again?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
I woke up like this.
Because usually there's activity that's involved with pulling your hamstring. Like you have to be running, playing basketball, actually doing something.
It's not my hamstring. It's my neck.
Whatever.
And no, I don't know. Is it called a crick? Have you heard that? Like a crick in your neck?
Yep.
But what the hell is
a crick? I know a crick used to be a term for a creek. Like that's what country folks will say. Go down to the crick and get some water. So I don't know if that's actually that's what we've always called it. A crick in my neck.
I've heard it.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
So I'm not out there.
No, if you need a neck brace or like.
Nope. Not that bad. I just needed some muscle relaxers. I'll take some muscle relaxers tonight. I'm going to go do an open mic
right now.
And then
next segment.
Like the commercial drugs before hugs.
So I can go to sleep?
Yeah. Pass out right there on video.
No.
We need to go viral.
I don't have any.
We need the clicks.
I don't have any with me. What the hell was that noise?
People out in the hallway outside. Not being respectful. Hey, Nick, you blew out of here quick last night. And so we weren't normally on the same path when we're heading towards the freeway.
Right.
And the reason why I say this, and I know what you think I'm going to say, I'm not going to say that. The reason why I say this is because I knew you got a couple blocks ahead of me, so I was at the light that you already had gotten through. I'm sitting there at the light, and I see a white Ferrari station wagon.
What?
Yeah, a white Ferrari station wagon turning right to come back towards the station. So I'm at the light. And lo and behold, the windows are down on the station wagon. Want to guess who was driving it? Because I was thinking if Nick was here, we could have like cornered him and said, hey, man, why don't you just come over to the station? We'll just get you on the air and see what's up.
Oh, man. Was it Hakeem?
Nope.
Was it a former Rocket?
It's a former Astro. Well, not yet. It was Dallas Keuchel.
No.
He drives a Ferrari station wagon?
Yeah. Yeah. He was going to the Smoothie King right there. And I was like, oh, my God, we could have just got him and said, hey, man, when you got a plan on where you're going to be and what you're going to do, come on over.
Didn't I pull up front? Because I almost backed into you yesterday in the parking
lot. Yeah, getting out of here. But then you made that light, and I didn't. So I was sitting at the light, and I'm going, who's driving a Ferrari station wagon?
I didn't even know they made those.
I didn't either.
Did it look like that, kind of?
It sure does.
Oh, I guess that's not too bad. That's still.
It looked like a little bit more profound in the back, but it looked like a Ferrari station wagon. I was like, if you're going to get a Ferrari, why would you get the.
Joel, first of all, it's 2019. They're called Raris.
Oh, my bad. The kids, that I was not aware of.
The kids are calling him Rari's, so let's just try to be hip. We're hip and cool on this show.
I've heard he's a bit of a car collector, so yeah. I guess that's part of the collection.
He's got a really good collection of Jordans as well, or shoes.
Well, he's got some 713-281s that he's out in front of that I don't know if he'll be endorsing much after he signs.
Back when the Astros were pretentious and gave me a media credential, I would be in the locker room, and he always had on some fresh J's.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Don't know about now. But we do know he drives a station wagon. You don't have to say it's a Rari. It's a station wagon.
Would you agree with me it's a station wagon?
That's a wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is definitely a wagon.
Now, where you and I had this conversation a week or so ago, because you had...
I saw a Porsche wagon and a guy trying to race me in a Porsche station wagon.
So, this, when I saw your tweet on that, trying to race you in a Porsche station wagon, it brought me back to a conversation I had with one of my buddies I play basketball with. Okay. Because he works in oil and gas, and you know, and he was looking for a new car, and he wants to have two cars. He wants to have his truck, which is kind of an older pickup truck, and then he wants to have his car. I was like, okay. He's like, man, I've been looking all over for it. And we were playing basketball the one day, and he goes, I got to get out of here quick because I got to get to Austin because I found my car, and I might have a chance to get it, and then I'll have to drive it back. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, what kind of car? It was a station wagon. It was a Volvo. I showed it to you. It was a Volvo station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're pulling my leg, right? You're really looking for like a BMW or something like that. He goes, no, dude. Volvo station wagon. He goes, you should consider getting Lisa one. I go, no, Lisa would drive an SUV if she needs that much room. Not a station wagon, and definitely not a... And he goes, do you realize the peak performance and the abilities of a Volvo station wagon? I go, I'm sure I never will.
No, I don't care.
That's a look?
I don't know why. No.
Is this a thing, Nick? Is this a thing that station wagons are acceptable sports car-like
prestigious? Yeah, I think who made it... I feel like who made it relevant first or prevalent first...
The Brady Bunch.
With the wood grain on the side.
No, we'll kind of bring it back was that Chrysler, Chrysler version that kind of looked like a wannabe Bentley, but they made it
300.
They made a station wagon version of
that. Oh, I thought you were going to say the PT Cruiser.
I thought he was going to say the Charger or the.
And it may not be a 300. It might be a Charger too. It might be like the Charger wagon too. But Chrysler, I feel like, was the first one to kind of bring it back and make it hip. Plus, the Porsche SUV, that's kind of hip and cool.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Porsche, it's an SUV.
I want them to make like a Ferrari or a Porsche wagon with wood grain. That would be badass.
Yeah. Like the Brady Bunch. Yeah, bring it back. I kept waiting for him to deliver the punchline like he was kidding and there was a different car and he was trying to tell me the hydraulics and the engine and the handling and I'm like, but it's a station wagon. That just doesn't hit me as being hip and cool.
I didn't realize that was a thing. Like you said, most people now, if they need that much room, they can make they buy an SUV.
Right.
But maybe it's cheaper.
And
maybe you get the room for less cost.
Isn't in the Porsche, isn't that the Panorama, isn't that that's just a big oversized sports car?
No idea. I know very little about like the wagon market.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know anything about it, but now evidently it's a thing. So yeah, Nick, we could have cornered Dallas Keuchel yesterday, but get him to tell us where he's signing and maybe come up to the station. But that didn't work out. All right, Nick's not listening. That's not anything unusual. All right, so did you watch anything last night?
Well, I did the open mic at Rudyard's and then got home and watched the Rockets game. I had recorded it so I could get home and afterwards and watch it. Which, oh, by the way, I saw that today is Hank Aaron's 85th birthday.
Yes, sir.
So happy birthday to Hank Aaron. Thank you for putting that in there. I had no idea. Also, yesterday was my man 50 grand Andy Huggins' birthday, 69 years old. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. That's my road dog. So
yes.
But we were at Rudyard's along with another comedian friend of mine, Chris Rogers, and did that. And then... you know, I haven't done an open mic in almost a year.
Well,
I had done nothing but shows. You know, it's funny. I was nervous. For the first time in a long time, I was nervous on stage to do an open mic in front of not a club crowd. So, but it went well. I did some new stuff, new jokes I wrote while I was sitting out there yesterday. And then went home and watched the game and stayed up to like 12:30 at night trying to get it all in. And maybe that's why I hurt my neck because I was laying all crazy on the couch.
That would be where you did it.
Probably.
Yep.
Now that I think about it. Yep.
Because I do that a lot because when you're forced to like share your bed with way too many dogs,
you just feel
like the couch is a better option.
Yeah.
And then she'll wake me up after midnight going, what are you doing? I'm like, well, actually, I was sleeping pretty tight till you woke me up. I don't have to worry about like a big dog nose under my chin.
Is she one of those? Hey, are you up? Well, I am now.
Oh, God, all the time.
See, that would drive me nuts.
She'll drop her water in the middle of the night and be like, babe. I'm like, what?
Drop her water?
Yeah, like off the nightstand.
What, she knocks it over? Is she a rough sleeper?
She's like, no, she just, you know, but she has to get up in the middle of the night.
Like a glass or a bottle?
A glass.
What?
Yeah, and she'll be like, can you help me clean this up? I'm like, seriously? It's like 1:15.
Oh, bro. You got to get her a plastic bottle.
Oh, we got them. She just doesn't prefer them at the house. She gets the Ozarka in the glass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That would drive me nuts.
There you have it. Hey, hope we don't drive you nuts because we're here for the next 3 hours. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us via Twitter throughout the show and otherwise at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with the K, at Barry is funny. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I've been with Infuse Energy almost 2 years now, and I'm telling you, they've taken thousands off my bills from year to year, and they do a great job. And they start with great customer service. If you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. And that human being is going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And they go from there. They're going to get you the best rate possible and lock it in and get you a very, very friendly contract so that you will never be feeling like you got bamboozled. They're 100% honest, and sometimes that means they'll even give you the name of the business that can give you a better rate than them. And it's not frequently that it happens, but when it does, they want to make sure that you realize they're never here to confuse, deceive, obscure, or trick you. They're going to be 100% honest like a good friend. That may mean that you go with that company initially, but you'll come back because you know Infuse is always going to be open and honest with you. If you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. You can also check out their website. It's InfuseEnergy.com, but better yet, give them a call 844-INFUSE2. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on The Usual Suspects on Barry Tuesday. You know what that means?
Yeah, that means Nick's got some work to do for tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow is another episode of Way Back Wednesday.
And guess what he can't do? Songs that are 6 years old.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Cannot use the date as a crutch anymore.
Better get those creative juices flowing, Nicholas.
So, Nick.
And by creative juices, I mean send a text to Kirsten.
Clock is ticking. Theme for Way Back Wednesday.
I'll get one.
Oh, I'm sure cool. You will, with help.
No, I'll get one by myself.
Okay.
It'll be a Nick-created, well-thought-out Way Back Wednesday theme.
So, are you just going to go to... on this day in and look at that?
Or... I've done that before.
Yeah, I know, because you wanted to do the FBI CIA thing.
Yeah.
Like, how many songs out there are about the CIA?
I'm sure there's a lot of rap songs about the
what?
FBI and CIA. So.
The police in general, we've done before.
But knowing how we've handled themes before, I'm sure if the word FBI or CIA was in the lyrics, we would have allowed the song, right?
I can think of maybe two groups that would have discussed it, like NWA and Public Enemy.
Okay, so we'll move past that idea. Bad idea. FBI, CIA topic, bad theme.
You know what, though? Maybe the Ghetto Boys, too, because they caught some heat. Well, maybe there was.
Because you can't do Meek, because Meek's too current.
Do y'all know who 21 Savage is?
Yeah.
I've heard of him, yes.
And I know they've had was not American? He's being deported back to the UK.
Oh, boy.
Had no idea.
I didn't either. I thought that fella was American, and apparently that's not the case. So, bye 21 Savage, which is a weird name, but I don't know what it means, but whatever.
But correct me if I'm wrong, a popular...
He is popular.
Musical. He is.
He is popular. Right? That is correct.
Because I've heard that quite a few... Amongst the kids.
Made his name
amongst
the
kids, they talk about that.
Yep.
Oh, he's a SoundCloud rapper? Is that what he is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he made his name online.
Oh,
SoundCloud, iTunes, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that, but I guess
And he's an absolute thug.
Is he a thug?
Like a genuine thug. Like, I'm scared of 21 Savage. I wouldn't mess with 21
really?
Savage.
Really?
Oh, my God. He's like a legit thug. He's not a fake thug. Like, he's an absolute thug.
Like, in what ways make him an absolute thug?
I mean, so many of his friends around him have been shot and killed.
Oh,
he's
really?
Been shot and survived multiple times, like multiple people. I think when he was on The Breakfast Club, I want to say it was like 6 or 7 people that he listed just on the top of his head.
Is he
of people dying around him?
Is he
friends,
beefing
family.
With people? Does he have like a beef going on with just, anybody?
I guess he had the, you know, the thug life.
Tekashi 69, are they beefing? 69 to 21?
No, they're not beefing.
They're beefing
at least.
Over what's the better number?
Well, see, Tekashi apparently is going. He went around and did the SMID thing.
Yeah.
And that's what got him beat up.
Really?
Because you can't do that in that world. Well,
no.
Not to mention all the other stuff that he does on the internet to troll.
And he's a gang member, right?
I believe so. But I think he's like not claiming the Crips or the Bloods, and there was kind of weird.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That's not a good thing.
He dated Amber Rose.
Who, 21 Savage?
Yes.
Okay.
He started a movement called Guns Down, Paintballs Up, which was intended to reduce gun violence by suggesting the use of paintball guns instead of lethal firearms. As the head of the Detroit Police Department said, it was well-intentioned, however, misguided after several incidents involving paintball guns resulted in injuries, disorderly conduct, and other things. The movement was also linked to several property, crime, and homicides. So, you got that going for you. And then he pulled out a firearm during a pool party in June of 2018, which set off quite a reaction as well and got him into some trouble.
I wonder if anybody was trying to do, like, trying to jack people with a paintball gun. Like, break yourself, man. Give me all your money. And then you just see this dude holding this gun with a big air tank on it and a big hopper. And you're like, are you robbing me with a paintball gun? Don't worry about it, man. I swear I'll put some welts on you. I'll welt you up.
I'd just be scared if it hit my eye because it will make you go blind.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah.
When I was in Portland.
Shoot somebody in the junk with it. That's where I would aim.
That would hurt.
Yeah, that's where I would aim with a paintball gun. Even if we played paintball, I'm trying to shoot y'all in the balls.
So when I was in Portland, and they were known as the Jailblazers after they had all the incidents, one of the big stories was they had the squirt guns and I want to say paintball guns. A lot of guys from the team, they were driving around downtown, hanging out the window with the guns. And the next thing you know, all the stations went live as like you see all of these basketball players laying face down in the street
because
the Portland Police Department thought that the guns were real.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That reminds me on 8 Mile when they would take the paintball guns and shoot stuff. That's where 21 Savage got the... See, it's all numbers. 8 Mile, 21 Savage, Tekashi 69. It's like rapper bingo.
This guy's got quite the rap sheet, by the way.
Does he?
Also convicted of felony drug charges in 2014. Was taken into custody, as you mentioned, by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, after being pulled over with American rapper Young Nudy.
Oh, my God, not Young Nudy!
Who was targeted in an operation on unrelated charges. However, they found out he was British, and that started his non-immigrant visa investigation, which they found out expired in 2006.
Young Nudy? Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
These rappers today, whatever happened to good old-fashioned rap names like Flavor Flav? Now that you think about that, that's a stupid-ass rap name. Flavor Flav? You're not naming yourself after any particular flavor, just all the flavors. Like, you're the word flavor. You're not like Strawberry Flav.
Well, you know what he said
you're
when
just
they
Flavor Flav
asked if you're really going to go by the name Flavor Flav.
What?
Yeah, boy! I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
That was wide open right there.
I was doing just fine.
This guy's quotes, too, and his lyrics and his songs.
Oh, 21 Savage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they savage?
ASMR is a song from his sophomore studio album, I Am Greater Than I Was. It caused controversy because of his lyrics. The lyrics included, and of course, this is not from us. This is from the song. We've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher.
Mm.
The lyrics came under fire for perpetuating negative Jewish stereotypes when LeBron James shared an Instagram story quoting his song. He had later apologized on Twitter by saying, and I quote, "The Jewish people I know are very wise with their money, so that's why I said we be getting Jewish money. I never thought anyone would take offense. I'm sorry if I offended everybody. Never my intention. I love all people."
I would love to ask, because I'm, of course, I know that everyone thinks I am. I am not right. Jewish, and nor am I black, if you've never met me or seen me. But I wonder, like, I would be, and maybe I just because it's not been perpetuated on me, but if people told me I was good with money, I'd be happy with that. I would be good with that. I'd be like, oh, you think I manage my money well? That's not offensive.
As long as they didn't associate you being good with money because of your heritage and background.
Maybe so. I don't know. I just don't see how saying that you're wealthy is...
Absolutely no comment.
Nick, probably a smart move.
I can't suck you guys into this? No. Not at all?
Mm-mm. Damn it. All right.
We'll wrap this up on 21 Savage. The spokesperson for ICE in the deportation process has been quoted as saying his whole public persona is false. He actually came to the U.S. from the U.K. as a team. He overstayed his visa, and they have reported that he was actually born in Newham, London. He has three kids who he rarely talks to, although he occasionally posts pictures of them on Instagram.
Are they in London? Are they here?
Let's see.
Ooh. The plot thickens. By the way, do you guys follow BMX at all?
Like bike riding?
Yeah.
Not anymore. I did when I was
Do you remember a guy named Dave Mira?
Yeah.
Found dead in a North Carolina home.
No way. How old was he?
Suicide. 43.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's terrible. In the article, it just, you know, it talks about he was considered a trailblazer in BMX, credited with bringing the sport to the city in Greenville where he was found. But yeah, he was one of the first guys I remember, like a name that you could recognize from BMX.
Yep.
But, apparent suicide. So
man,
very tragic.
Very sad. Okay. So we're going to try and, we'll get into some sports and pick up the mood a little bit for you, but, that's the way we do it. When we break the ice around here. So if you want to join the show, something on your mind, you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, half hour into the three-hour extravaganza. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Yes, we know. We're working on Way Back Wednesday. Well, Nick is. So you stayed up and watched the game last night.
I did. And not live, so I wasn't live tweeting it or anything, but I did watch the game. It was not the most entertaining game in the world.
Right.
I was a little worried that the Rockets might overlook the Suns. They talked about that being a trap game going in. So good for them for that not happening.
You know, yeah, I was with you. And then it got down to 8 at the end. I thought it was going to get close and interesting. But because when Harden had like 30, so he had his number, and he had only played 29 minutes, I was like, perfect. Sit him for the rest of the game and you're good. And then it just kept getting closer and closer. And I was like, nope, not going to do that. Going to have to throw him back out there. And then I was looking at DeAndre Ayton and going, man, number one pick in the whole draft. And I get it if this was like the 80s or maybe the 90s. But it just looks like he doesn't fit, not just with the Suns. He'd be a tough fit for a lot of places. He's not, he doesn't shoot it like Embiid, although he's built like Embiid. And I'm just thinking, man, you could have had Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had some good players in Phoenix. And here's the ironic thing.
But, I mean, he was the consensus number one pick, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, Doncic wasn't a guy that, he was up there, but I think the consensus was get the big guy, right?
It just depends on needs and style of play. But here's the thing, that the other thing that really kind of made me think about this again was the fact that I had forgotten the Suns' new head coach was Doncic's coach in Europe. So you knew what he had,
yeah.
Probably more than most. But boy, him and Devin Booker would have been a nice combination.
Yeah, and now the Suns look like they have an issue because he didn't play the final 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. For what? A hamstring injury. So it's pretty, we were talking about how common it is in the Houston Rockets organization and how often they deal with hamstring injuries. Their star player couldn't play for the last 8 minutes, and they still struggled. So,
can I give you my biggest observation from the game? Because let's be real. Yep. It was the Rockets and the Suns, and I didn't care all that much. I just knew it was, you know, we have to watch it to talk about it a little bit. What did you think of the uniforms?
I like the color. I know the Chinese letters is not a big thing for Joel and for a lot of Rockets fans out there. I don't mind it, but I like the colors, the red and the gold. I liked it.
It's maroon and gold.
Right, the dark red or maroon.
I hate them and you know it.
Why?
I've said this from the minute they came out because these were supposed to be just like everybody else's quote-unquote city uniforms.
Uh-huh.
And if we still had Yao or we had Jeremy Lin, it would make more sense to me. But the fact that, yes, we have a Chinatown, yes, we have an Asian population in Houston, but if it doesn't represent the entire city. And I just feel like for a lot of reasons, I just think they could have done better.
So I agree with both of you guys, but here was my observation.
Okay.
The colors, those are not the Rockets colors. Rockets colors are black, red, red, white. If you want to go old school and go red and mustard.
Yep.
You know what colors those are? Those are ASU colors. Arizona State University. That's where James Harden played.
Yeah, but...
Those are ASU colors. And he wore them in Phoenix. He wore them in Arizona. Yeah.
Look Arizona's... It up. I know what Arizona State's colors are, but...
Those have a hint, if nothing else. That is... I guarantee you that uniform is an ode to his university. I would bet money. If they may never admit it publicly...
Arizona State's more of a purpley than it is a maroon.
It's a maroon and gold. Look it up.
I have looked it up with the Sun Devil.
The other thing is... You know how I was always talking about watching like visitor broadcasts when I watch Rockets games and how they're always pooping all over Harden?
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is probably one of the nicer teams to Harden, and they have a really good relationship. You have James Harden, who played at Arizona State. You got P.J. Tucker, who played for the Phoenix Suns. They actually interviewed P.J. Tucker. The Suns reporter interviewed P.J. Tucker after the game. So there's a relationship there. You could just tell that Eddie Johnson, who's on the broadcast, was a former Rocket. There's a relationship there. So, I mean, I'm not questioning your theory because I think that's very possible.
Well, I mean, if you Google Arizona State colors, the very first thing that pops up, maroon and gold.
Yeah, I don't know when they changed it because it used to be with the old cartoon Sun Devil and it was more like a purple and yellow and gold or purple and gold, but he's right. It says,
I had an Arizona State hat from back in 1994 and it was those same colors. So it's been that way for a while. I remember because my ex-wife, she played softball. They went to Arizona State for a game. She brought me a hat back. And it was the same colors. And it was like my favorite hat. But it was a maroon and a gold. And that something just clicked. I was like, damn.
So
gave this dude uniforms to match his school colors. They may never admit it. But you can't convince me otherwise. Unless, I don't know. I mean, they could even come out and say it. But not that it's a huge deal. But that just shows you the star power and the pull that James Harden has within that organization.
He owns the entire organization.
I guarantee you that it was a, hey, let's do this. Let's make the colors. Let's make the uniform. And then the fact that they wore it in Phoenix and Arizona and the fact that there were a lot of ASU fans in the crowd and he's running down after a three given the Sun Devils 3-point thing, kind of like the Cougars shocker or whatever.
The pitchfork or whatever it is.
It's just the Coug sign, by the way.
No, I'm talking about the Arizona State one.
Coogum? That's Giggum, and that would be Texas A&M.
Hook'em. Giggum.
Hook'em would be Texas.
Coogum.
Nope, Coogum is not. Nope. That's not a thing, sir.
Shock'em. When they win, it's a shocker.
Yeah, stay away from that, man. That's all I know.
It's a simple Coug sign. It's literally called the Coug sign.
Oh, because the shocker's the other one. Oh.
I mean, if you don't believe me, and I try to stay away from this, but if you don't believe me that you might be on, you know what? I will not write that off, that theory that you just gave about Harden, because of the fact that he really runs the entire organization.
Yeah.
He's got the CEO under his pinky finger. And I mean, it's just
that was just my observation. I'm not suggesting that it's a terrible thing. I mean, It could have been worse, but it's just the first thing I noticed is I've never seen maroon and gold with the Rockets. I've seen black, red, white, gray,
red, white, and blue,
ketchup, seen it with mustard,
those,
red,
with
white,
those
and blue
letters though.
But that was like maroon. Yeah, the letters was the other. I mean, but that wasn't what I noticed on. But man, maroon and gold.
Yeah,
not a typical
Rockets
color.
Those aren't
Rockets
colors, and we both have our disagreements for different reasons. But there's so many options you could have done to make Houston happy.
H Town.
Yeah.
Syrup City. No, don't do that.
But I said if you wanted to combine
great.
The fact that everybody loves the black uniforms now, but use the ketchup and mustard as the trim, use the old school logo with the basketball with the Rockets. People were, when I mentioned that before, but I would love to see some version of that.
You know what would be really dope? Because you know they'll put like the land or what is it? What is Golden State's?
Or like
the
Motor
Bay.
City
the
for
Bay.
Detroit.
City by the Bay. The City by
what
the Bay.
What if they just put Be Someone on the front? That would be so dope.
Or just H-Town, because you know what? Everybody goes back to calling them. I like the ketchup and mustard, but I can do without Clutch City. It hasn't been Clutch City for a long time.
No,
so
they're not
skip
very clutch.
That, but I like the colors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like the colors. I actually don't mind the Chinese letters as much as most people do. But,
yeah, it doesn't bother me.
But the colors are cool, like the gold and maroon. Like
you
I
liked
like it?
It?
Yeah, I liked it.
It wasn't bad. I just thought, oh, never seen that before. But I tend to agree with Joel in that. It doesn't. It's not a representation of the current landscape of Houston basketball.
Right.
They're not catering to them. They're catering to the Chinese market.
Right. Well, great. Well, when they buy tickets to the stadium and their taxpayer money pays for the stadium, then they should be able to certainly be represented. But guess what? They don't pay taxes on the stadium. They don't pay the taxes to go there. They don't buy the tickets to go there.
But when you have 10 million people watching across the globe at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to cater to that market. Because that's advertising revenue. Golden State Warriors do the same thing. They have the Chinese letters. They even have a Chinese company that sponsors their jerseys.
You don't find it a bit disrespectful or a slap in the face to the city of
absolutely
Houston
not.
That your
get
city uniform is representing not even your own city.
I'm a Houstonian. Get over it. You're really that upset over Chinese letters?
Yes.
Get over it.
You're not representing the city. You're representing another country.
Get over it. There's 9.8 million people.
You know what it is? It's corporate greed. It has nothing to do with representing your city.
You're right. So he's right in a lot of ways, Nick, because here's the thing. They pander and cater to the Asian markets because they still think that they get... like I said, when they had Yao, when they had T-Mac, when they had Jeremy Lin, there's a reason why you saw the sponsorships on the scorers table, you saw the jerseys being sold. But now if you look at jersey sales and everything like that, it's all Warriors... Curry, Durant, LeBron, and then LeBron.
So if you're the owner of the Houston Rockets and you have analytics that show 9.8 million people are streaming and you go to advertisers and say, this is how many people are watching in China, you don't think advertisers are going to be like, yeah, we'll give you this much money to put your name, and you're going to say no to that revenue?
Listen, when you come out with country uniforms, feel free. These are city uniforms. They're supposed to represent the city. That team, that's not the China Rockets. That's the Houston Rockets. And I know that they have a big market over there, and that's great, and that's all well and good, and there's plenty of representation on the different markings within the stadium itself. You'll see it on the signs that Joel talked about. You'll see it on the backboards. But when it comes to representing the city, that does not represent the city. I think it's a slap in the face of the taxpayers that paid for that building and that buy those tickets and go there every single night.
I disagree with you that it's a slap in the face. And if I'm Tillman Fertitta, I'm taking that money all day long. I just spent, $4
He's not making any money by using that.
But
he absolutely
is. No, he's
not.
You can still get that money without the jerseys.
He absolutely is making money from that. How is he not making money?
It's revenue shared. It's revenue shared.
Yeah, so he's definitely gaining
money.
Although
you are right in the fact that the sponsorship dollars that they get for the signage and things like that go directly
in the
organization's pocket.
Yeah, but he still benefits from that. That's the point. Every team is going to benefit from a sponsor being on their team. So I'm sure the NBA gets a cut, but the owners do as well. There's a financial benefit there.
But you don't have to change the uniforms to get the sponsorship dollars.
Exactly.
Because
you still got the placards, you still got the backboards, you still got everything else.
There's two teams.
The city jersey.
There's two teams that the China market adheres to. You can make the argument Golden State Warriors is 1A and the Rockets is 1B vice versa. It's still there.
Not anymore,
it's
though, bro.
Still there.
That's great. I loved the Golden State uniform with the Chinese lettering on it. There wasn't one. That's right, because they didn't disrespect the city that they played.
They absolutely have Chinese.
It's disrespectful.
I think they might
have Chinese letters on their jerseys. Number one, and they also have a Chinese sponsor. So I don't
disrespectful
know
to the city if they if
I think
their
sponsor
city,
is an no, internet company.
No, their city
company,
says the Bay.
It's an absolute Chinese
their
sponsor.
Their city jersey says the Bay.
It's a Chinese sponsor, and that's they have fine. Chinese letters because they're adhering to the Chinese
the
market.
The sponsor, that Rocket thing is one thing. The ROKIT.
I'm talking both teams, the Warriors
and the
Rockets.
I'm talking when it says the city jersey and your city name is replaced by something else.
I don't find it disrespectful. I just don't. I just don't. Okay. That's just my personal opinion.
You hate Houston. That's fine.
Raccoon.
No, that's you. You're the Dallas lover.
Raccoon is the jersey sponsor, and it is a Japanese e-commerce company.
Because there's a market there.
And oh, there's no doubt. There's the biggest
you're gonna
Chinatown
be dumb.
In the entire
you're
nation.
You're going to be dumb not to adhere to that.
You're absolutely right about there's the
I'm
biggest Chinese population
the
in the country in San Francisco.
I know you're not talking about the advertising, but you still have to please that market. And one way to do that is to put those letters on the jersey. That's what they're doing. That's their thought process behind it.
Okay. Well, I just think it's disrespectful. Go get your money, Tillman, but that's disrespectful.
Okay. All right, there you go. We're going to continue to roll on. We've got some, I guess because the game wasn't so interesting, there were some interesting quotes that have been making the rounds as one of the greatest of all time decided to weigh in on James Harden's season and what he thinks the end result might be for your Houston Rockets. So we can get to that and some other things. Don't go anywhere. Much more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour one, three-hour show, as we were talking Rockets and got kind of sidetracked into the uniforms last night. I did look up during the break the five largest Chinatowns in the United States. Number one.
New York.
San Francisco.
Oh, well, that duh.
Number two. Idiot. New York. Three, Chicago.
Damn it.
Okay. Four, Google just screwed me.
No.
I put it in the United States. You know what number four is?
What?
Toronto. Thanks for giving me the wrong information, Google.
That never happens. You never get wrong or old information. He says as he winks. You never get old information on the internet. Not that someone died 3 years ago and you're just now finding out. That never happens.
Now, the problem is now is that Google wants to take credit for everything. So right. Like right when you search anything, it's like the Google answers first as opposed to like the actual link, and you don't look at the date and you don't see how old that link actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But literally right there, I put in largest Chinatowns in the United States, and I get San Francisco, New York City, Chicago, Toronto, and Seattle.
Seattle's, yeah, that would have been on my list, too. I'm surprised LA's isn't bigger, but...
And Nick, I get your point on all this. My big thing is
don't
just,
take his side.
No, I'm saying, because I just...
He's
I mean,
wrong.
Obviously, it was this a good like debate between you two guys, but here's my thing. My only thing is, I get what you're saying about getting to the Asian
totally
markets and things like that. But I think you're discriminating against all the other ethnicities in the city that you'd want represented by your team.
I understand that. And maybe the text line could tell us. I'd be happy to throw out a poll if y'all want. Are you guys disrespected or not? And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm completely okay with it. The problem is you're talking about a guy who just threw over $2 billion on a team. And it's really hard to stay afloat in the NBA anyway, and you got a market, again, I'm not trying to upset the Houston Rockets fans here, but you guys don't show up. Y'all don't. Y'all don't show up on time. Y'all show up late. And ticket sales are not the same. And the second they get an opportunity to sell a massive group of tickets, it's like, oh my God. It's like they get so excited because they want Toyota Center to look so full all the time. So it's so hard.
I'm going to bet, though, that Tillman didn't have anything to do with it.
I'm just saying it's hard to deny a revenue stream like that when you're trying to pay everything back and you're trying to stay afloat and you can't sell out an arena. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not suggesting And I would never suggest that you not take advantage of the market. I'm not suggesting that you not have ads and representation for the Asian market overseas, which you have 10 million viewers. I am not suggesting that. What I'm saying is that if you come out with a jersey that's designated the city jersey, then it should be representative of the city that you play in. So the sponsor logo or ads in the arena that cater to the Asian market, I'm not hating on Tillman Fertitta for taking advantage of that money. My point is just that one jersey is supposed to be for the city.
And here's what they did.
I feel like it's not when it's in you know, Asian lettering representing another country or another. It's not here. It's not Houston. It doesn't represent Houston.
They had said, because they was almost like their tradition, like the New Year's Eve game. Their tradition was they always represented Chinese New Year. So that's why they had said as an organization, not public, I don't know if they said it publicly or not, but from what I had heard, they were saving their city jerseys so that they could represent the Chinese New Year and bring them out right around the Chinese New Year, which is right now.
Who was that?
I have friends within the organization.
Oh, yeah. This was the representative of the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, that's why the jerseys done that way for the city jersey.
Right.
But, I mean, to your point, Barry, and I'm just going to say this. I mean, James Harden is obviously the best player on the team, but he is so deeply rooted in everybody in that organization that I don't think you're wrong. I don't think that wasn't, at least there wasn't a hint of thought of doing something James-esque. Because I've said all along, those Rockets R jerseys look just like the Chinese national team jerseys when they were created years ago. And you can't tell me that you knew you had the most worldwide known player, and especially the most known player in Asia, coming to your team, and coincidentally or not, you change the logos, you change the jerseys, and they look a whole lot like the Chinese national team.
And of the 82 games, how many games are we talking about in terms of the games played with jerseys with the Mandarin letters?
I've asked this before. I looked it up. There's a minimum number of games you have to wear them for. I think it's like 5, and then it's up to the team, because you remember now with the other jerseys, the black jersey became their favorite jersey last year, and so they wore it predominantly, and it was the players, and they would work it out to how many times they were going to wear it.
So you think it's 5. Let's double it. Let's say it's 10. 10, okay. 10 games of the 82. You're disrespected because 10 of the 82 games are in Mandarin letters?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I am. Because it's supposedly a specific representation of the city. Because some of them will say Houston, some of them will say Rockets. You know, I think that's the two different ones they'll rotate on.
Used to have Clutch City. Yep. I like Barry's idea of H-Town.
Be someone, H-Town. There's a lot of things that go on in this city that as Houstonians we're proud of. And none of that is represented on the city jersey. It just feels disingenuous to do that to the city. And the thing is, you know, at some point, they're going to need a new arena. They're going to want a new arena. And then they're going to come to the city and to the taxpayers and the people that have paid for that arena and ask us again for more money. And it's like, you couldn't even represent us in the 10 games that you had the opportunity to do something that represented us as a city as a whole. A throwback to, you know, Hurricane Harvey and what this city went through. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things
it does
that they could have done.
It just feels forced now. Like I said, if you still had a Yao or a Jeremy Lin.
I would get that in a way. Like, I really would. I would understand, okay, Yao, he's here, but he's representing. And that was a big crossover moment.
And he made Houston
home.
Not
just for Houston, but for the NBA. Yep, that was a big I get that. But none of that exists now. None of that exists. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Sean wants to talk about the jerseys.
Yep.
Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I kind of agree with both sides. In a way with Nick, man, you know, I used to, before I made a little money, I used to be a Rocket season ticket holder, and I'd sit up top, and a lot of times they would, you know, bring the guys that cheer the most down to the lower section because, Rocket fans do suck in a way. We don't show up on time. And a lot of times when they have those national games, they want that lower section packed. So I completely understand what they're doing. But I will say I agree with y'all, man. They need to go ahead and represent for Houston. They got the Chinese out the way. So let's go ahead next time do something for the city of Houston. Man, huge fan of the show. And I'll shut up and listen, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
I did see the Golden State. There's a Golden State Warriors one. Do you see that? It looks like
It's not, but yeah.
Japanese lettering or Asian lettering, but it's not. It's a GSW.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can really see it from way over there.
I really can't,
but I like that makes sense, but that's a bit more of a mix
of your combination of the two.
Yeah, and there's just I don't know.
Well, here's the last
thing. I'm being petty.
Here's the last thing that I'll say, and I'm not trying to get into too much into like analytics and numbers and stuff like that, but I was having this discussion with Howard Chen, who Joel knows pretty well.
Yep.
And I asked him this season. It was an Oklahoma City Thunder game. I think it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning for the Houston Rockets, and Russell Westbrook was not even playing. And that's where I got the $10 million streamer number. It was 9.8 million people streaming, watching the Rockets in a game against the Thunder without Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul. Okay? And then I said, can you make the argument? I asked Howard Chen this. Can you make the argument that the Chinese is a stronger Houston Rockets fan base than the Rockets? You know what Howard Chen did? He immediately disagreed with me, and he was like, oh, no, I wouldn't go that far. I'm like, all right, well, here's my follow-up question. The Houston Rockets were on the road against Oklahoma City Thunder. Is there 9.8 million people in the city of Houston watching this Thunder Rockets game? He's like, ooh, good point. And my answer is, I don't think so. I don't think there's 9.8 million people watching a road Rockets game against the Thunder without Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul playing. I just don't believe
it. I don't think they are. If they're both playing.
There are 9.8 million people in the city.
If they're both playing, they're not.
Exactly. That's
my
point.
But also, here's the thing. When they had Yao or Jeremy Lin, I used to get those numbers and forget the streaming. The games would be going on and they'd call it breakfast and basketball in the mornings over in China. 70-plus million people were watching the games. But you had Yao or you had Jeremy Lin. You don't have either one of them now. So I'd be interested to see what those numbers are now as opposed to back then.
That's interesting too. But I'm a man whore. Wherever there's money, I'm going.
Somebody Demetrius texted the show. He said, Google the most popular basketball team in China. Number two surprised me. So I did that. I Googled the exact words I used was most popular NBA team in China. Mm-hmm. And there's an article on The Score. And I checked the dates because of, you know.
The Google.
September 26, 2018.
Okay.
So not that old. The number one team in China, the most popular team, the Golden State Warriors. Number two is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then number three is the Rockets, followed by the Lakers and the Spurs. So the Rockets aren't even the most popular team. They're not the second most popular team.
So 18, Cleveland, LeBron James.
Yeah, Cleveland is a LeBron James hangover.
Look it up now. I guarantee you it's not Cleveland.
I would agree with that.
And
but
even if the Rockets are number three, that still makes them extremely popular in China.
I'm shocked they're number three. That I give them credit for number three. I didn't think they would be that high anymore.
Yeah, and then the Lakers and Spurs are around there, and I'm sure the Lakers and the Cavs are probably flip-flop.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure the Cavs are falling a little bit, but I would imagine that the Lakers are now the number two team. But so I get that, and I think the Golden State Warriors did the kind of the ode, but they still didn't. I don't think that they got away from it. They didn't sell it out because their city jersey still says the Bay. That GSW that I showed you that looked like it was Asian lettering.
That's just a shooting shirt. Right?
That was a shooting shirt. And again, that's great. I have no problem with that. If they want to put the logo that's currently on the city jersey on all the warm up jerseys or whatever, I'd be good with that because that jersey should be representing the city and it doesn't. So that's just my problem. Not the marketing, not the getting paid on all that other stuff. And you're not even the most popular team in China. That's not good.
There you go.
Hey, you know what is good? Working out and getting in shape, especially if you're part of the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. And I want you guys, I hope you all win. I know you all can't win, but I hope you all win. And I've got a great tip for you. If you need a place to work out and you want to get it done quickly, you don't want to have to spend hours at the gym following some sweaty guy that doesn't wipe off the bench or whatever machine you want to use, get out to Vortex. It's 1707 West Gray is where they're located. And Vortex is Houston's first and only multisensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. You're going to get a great workout in only 45 minutes. And you don't wait. You get there. You show up. You put your stuff in one of the hundreds of lockers they have. There's a ton of lockers. The locker rooms are really nice. You pop in the class. It starts at 5. Let's say you take the boxing class that I usually do during the week at 5:45. You're done by 6:30. 45-minute workout, full body workout. You feel amazing. You're going to be a little sore the next day, but that's a good thing. Then you know you worked out. And the workouts are fun. They're energetic. They keep you motivated. All of the athletes there at Vortex will keep you motivated and in your workout and making sure that you don't cheat yourself. They're going to make sure that you actually work out. So every workout you have is like having a personal trainer right there for you. The spin classes are enormous. 48 bikes in total, 3 rows of bikes. It's outstanding. When you take the boxing class, you actually learn how to box while you get in shape. And guys, especially single dudes out there, I'm not going to lie. The scenery is nice. It's a very smart-looking crowd, if you know what I mean. You should check it out. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. The phone number, write this down. If you're driving, pull over. 281-501-3094. 281-501-3094 is the number. It's VortexTexas.com online. VortexTexas.com. Tell them Barry sent you.